what we're seeking the Lord for. Psalm 1 just seemed like a really appropriate and powerful text to look at. Before we get into that, I want to read to you Joshua 3:5. This will be up on the screen. Joshua told the people, "Consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you." This is a verse Pastor Josiah shared with our pastoral team, and just thinking about the reality of the year to come, and just thinking about the fact New Life is coming up on our 40th anniversary as a church. And so just really grateful for what God has done in our community and our family, and thinking through that reality. What's happening here in Joshua 3:5 is we have Israel standing on the edge of the Jordan after 40 years of wandering. And they didn't know what was next. They just knew that God was about to move. But before that movement came the preparation. We need to consecrate ourselves. We need to dedicate ourselves. We need to purify ourselves. We need to make sure we are focused on the Lord, because God's about to do something. That's really what our theme for the year is going to be, is Lord, move in us. Work in us. Draw us to you. Focus us on who you are. Bring us to you. Because we want you to do something. We know that you're doing something, whether it's in our church family, whether it's in our communities, within this city, we want to be a part of that. So God, prepare our hearts for whatever you're doing. And that's really what we're praying through, not only in this 21 days, but again, what we're going to be looking toward for this entire year. And I think Psalm 1 is just a great way to prepare for that. And so I'm going to pray, and then we're going to look at the psalm. God, we thank you so much for who you are. We praise you, Lord, just for what you're doing in this place, what you're doing in our lives. God, I pray that you would just really encourage our church family through your word. God, I pray that you would draw us to you and draw us to one another. God, that you would continue just to make us a community that loves one another and cares for one another because of our love for you, Lord, and what you're doing in our lives. And so I pray that this you would speak, and just like we sang, Spirit, you would move in this place and challenge and speak to our hearts. In your name we pray, amen. We haven't done this in a minute. I want us to read this psalm together, and we've done it before where just have one person read one verse and then another person read another verse, and there's only six, so this isn't a really long one, but I'd like us to read the passage together. And so whoever wants to start off, read Psalm 1, verse 1, then somebody else, write nice and loud, read verse 2, somebody else, verse 3, until we get through the six verses. So whoever wants to start off with verse 1.
Blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked, or stand in the way that sinners take, or sit in the company of mockers.
Verse 2. Verse 3.
He is like a tree planted by streams of water that yields its fruit in its season, and its leaf does not wither, and all that he does, he prospers.
Now, therefore, O kings, be wise, be warned. O rulers of the earth, serve the Lord with fear and rejoice with trembling. Kiss the Son, lest he be angry and you perish in the way. For his wrath is quickly kindled. Blessed are all who take the
Verse 4.
Not so the wicked. They are like chaff that the wind blows away.
Verse 5.
Therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the congregation of the righteous.
And verse 6.
For the Lord knows the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked will perish.
Amen. This is the word of the Lord. I want to do this a little bit different. I don't have 3 points for you from this psalm. I want to read through it, look at the different details and what is this psalm talking about, but specifically as we go through it, ask some questions. What questions does this psalm, and it's going to be a lot of questions probably, but we could ask, but as we go through this as a church this morning and thinking about the 21 days, thinking about the year that's ahead of us, thinking about who we are in the Lord, who we are as a church, How does this bring us to the Lord? How does this sink our hearts to him? What does the Lord have for us? So I just want to walk through the details and ask some of those questions. It starts off, like we heard, blessed is the one. Blessed is the person. Happy is the person. It's not momentary, a thrill of momentary happiness, but long-term, beyond circumstances, joy and satisfaction is a core reality of life defined by a good that goes beyond oneself. Psalm 1 explains how that blessed life happens, how a person experiences this life of blessing with the Lord. And the first, the psalm explains how that blessed life doesn't happen. If blessed is the one who's not like this, blessed is the one who does not walk in step with the wicked or stand in the way that sinners take or sit in the company of mockers. The one living the blessed life, experiencing the blessing of the Lord, does not walk with the wicked, does not walk with those who are guilty of not living up to the Lord's standard. The blessed one is one who doesn't stand in the way of sinners, who those who live habitually in sin, not just a person who has a one-time slip-up, but somebody who is constantly committing a sin. The blessed doesn't walk with them. Not sitting in the company of mockers, avoiding those who go out of their way to ridicule the ways of the Lord or any idea of right living. The blessed one is the one who isn't in those places. Think as it's kind of get the point he's making here. Think as if he was talking about being physically healthy. He would be saying physically healthy is the one who isn't only eating fast food, who isn't mimicking those who eat in excess and without constraint, who is not following the habits of those who never exercise. Obviously, the point is to do the opposite of those things, to be different than those realities. He's defining the blessed life by pointing to what it isn't. And the negatives point to the part of the worldview that God wants us to embrace. If you want to experience a life of blessing, of true happiness, you aren't going to find it with those who intentionally avoid the Lord, go against him, or even ridicule him. The details of the grammar are also really helpful here. There's the progression of those verbs, walking, standing, and sitting. It changes from moving to stopping. Or as one scholar puts it, it's a gradual descent into evil in which one first walks alongside, then stops, and ultimately takes up permanent residence in the company of the wicked. It shows that getting comfortable with the wicked can happen in one small step that turns into a destructive detour against the Lord. There's also the number of people being talked about. He says the blessed is the one. It's a singular. It's a person here. It's a blessed is the individual. But the wicked, the sinners, the mockers are all plural. There's more. There's a larger group of them. To live the blessed life sometimes means standing alone. It means going against the larger influence and what the norm might seem like around us. The blessed life doesn't happen with the wicked, sinners, and mockers. It doesn't happen going with the majority flow, just doing whatever anyone wants. And so that raises the first question that we need to think about as we think about living the blessed life with the Lord, is that when it comes to my spiritual growth, my values, my character, who I am, what company do I keep? What company do I keep in my life? Do I have people encouraging me, confronting me, pointing me to Jesus? Or am I with people that avoid him, have nothing to do with him, and even ridicule him? Again, we're always going to be around different people. There's going to be people we just, you know, whether it's work or different things that we're involved in and stuff that don't love the Lord and things like that. We should. But the reality of those who invest in us and pour into us, that rub off on us, that help us become the people that we're becoming, what kind of company are we keeping within that? And it can't be that type of people. The people that help fashion and form us need to be people who love the Lord and are seeking him and are going to encourage us to do the same. The more that we withdraw from spiritual community, the more our spiritual growth in life is impacted. The more that we try to do it alone, the more that we try to remove ourselves from a community of faith, the more destruction that we can see within our faith. Again, in time, if we remove ourselves, that means it's not necessarily the community's fault. We need to move into community. And sometimes that's hard. Sometimes there's challenge. Sometimes there's conflict. Sometimes there's difficulty. But those should never be an excuse to remove. It should be something that we move toward. What company am I keeping? And the follow-up question to that also is that when it comes to my love for the Lord, spiritual life, who I am, do I compromise or do I remain faithful? I think through the reality of who God is calling me to be and the life he has for us, the life he calls us to, there's so many opportunities and so many temptations to go against what the Lord has, to ignore him, to go with the flow in the crowd. And so when those moments happen, am I going to remain faithful or am I going to compromise? Am I going to be faithful to who, what God has given me and what he provides for me and what he's called me to? Or am I going to just go with whatever in the moment? Psalm 1 is challenging us. We need to be with people who are going to encourage us in the Lord. And we need to be with faithful when the difficulties come. As we think through what we're praying toward, as we fast over the next 21 days, these are some of the questions we need to be praying through. Lord, what company do I have pouring into my life? What does faithfulness look like? What would compromise look like in my life? And how do I avoid that? The Psalm 1 challenges us to live the blessed life by avoiding those who avoid the blessed life. But then it tells us how the blessed life happens. It says, blessed is the one whose delight is in the law of the Lord and who meditates on his law day and night. This blessed, this happy life that's found in the Lord occurs by continually coming to his word. It's all about being part of God's, in God's word. It mentions the law. It isn't just, okay, here's all these different rules. But the reality of, okay, if you are God's people, if you are God's children, here's how he wants us to be. Here's how he's guiding us. Here's what he wants us to do and not do, expect of us and doesn't expect of us. If you are my people and here's how my people live. The reality of what it looks like for us to emulate the character of God, to bring the holiness of the Lord into our lives and live that holiness. That's what the law is talking about. That's what the Word of God points us to. And that blessed life, blessed is the one who delights in the Word of God, who delights in the Word. To delight is to incline ourselves toward what God has to say. It's to have an excited expectation about the Word of God. Blessed is the person who says, I am so glad to be in the Word of God. I remember one time hearing somebody say, if you think the Bible is boring, that's more of a commentary on you than the Bible itself. We have to acknowledge there's parts that we don't understand, that we have to acknowledge there's parts that are difficult or confusing. But along with that reality, the living, active word of the Lord is meant to encourage us and challenge us and comfort us and equip us and prepare us and show us the love of the Lord and his being with us. We need to delight and be excited about being in the word of God. It also tells us that we need to meditate on God's word. Meditating on God's word is an active thought process of being engrossed in God's word, contemplating what it says about his will and our lives. One scholar called meditation a purposeful immersion into the text, purposely being immersed in the Bible. You know, if somebody were to go to a swimming pool, walking around the pool isn't swimming. Sitting on the edge with your feet in the water isn't swimming. Just standing in the baby area up to your shins isn't swimming. Being in the water, immersing yourself in the water, moving about within it, that's swimming. And it's the same with the Word of God. Just because you have a Bible doesn't mean you are immersed in the Bible. Just because you have the app on your phone doesn't mean anything unless you're opening it and immersing yourself within it. Meditating on God's word is being in his word, trying to grasp it, trying to implement it, trying to be guided by it and strengthened by it, to be delight in the word and meditate on the word isn't just, I read this, check a box, but it's, what is this saying? What does that mean? And how does that guide me? And what is God's promises here? And how does this confront my sin? How does this help me be a better part of a community? It challenges us. And to be immersed in the word is to seek out those challenges, to seek out those promises, to be in the word and delight within it. How much we experience a life of blessing is influenced by our interaction with God's word. If we feel like our spiritual life is stale, if we feel like our spiritual life is dormant, one of the first questions we have to ask ourselves is, what does our activity in the word of God look like? If I'm never opening my Bible, there's your problem. If I'm only opening it on Sundays, there's your problem. If I'm only just reading it, checking a box, and not doing anything else, there's the problem. We need to be in the word, understanding it, implementing it, being guided by it, immersed in it. That is what fuels us. That is what strengthens us. That's what God's calling us to. And if the new year is a time to evaluate and contemplate and set goals and evaluate, then this next question is one we need to be brutally honest about. Do I occasionally visit God's word, or do I take up residence in it? Do I visit his word, or do I live in his word? Do I treat scripture like a hotel, or do I treat scripture like a home? A hotel is temporary, it's as needed, it's situational, and lack of ownership causes carelessness. But when it's your home, it's permanent, it's continual. There's effort, there's something about being there. Is the word of God something that's a home to me, or something that I just visit occasionally? The 21 days of prayer and fasting gives us an opportunity to develop the habit of being in God's word as a resident and not as a tourist, of being in his word continually. And the next part of the psalm explains the motivation for being in God's word. It says, that person is like a tree planted by streams of water, which yields its fruit in season and whose leaf does not wither. Whatever they do prospers. Not so the wicked, they are like chaff and the wind blows them away. John Hilbert explains that in lands with abundant rainfall, vegetation flourished only where there were natural streams or man-made canals. And so the idea here is of somebody intentionally planting a tree by a stream of water so that it can be filled, it can be nourished, it can thrive. People to intentionally plant a tree was to connect the tree to the source that would help it produce fruit, to help it flourish and not wither, and to help it prosper. And what the psalmist is telling us is that that's exactly what the word of God is for us, that we need to intentionally plant ourselves by the word of God, in the word of God, that we need to meditate on it, try to grasp it, implement it, and be guided by it, strengthened by it, that it is us planting our lives in the word of God, which then in turn helps us to flourish. When we plant our lives in the word of God, this tells us that we yield fruit, that we see the character of God within us, that we will live holy as he is holy. We could go through every single person in this room and every single one of us can nail something as far as, do I have an anger issue? Am I impatient? Am I apathetic? Can I get lazy? Do I procrastinate? Have I hit you yet? Am I just mentioning those? Yeah. All of us can have those things. The reality is that when I'm in the Word of God and I'm continually coming to the Word of God and I'm living out the things the Word of God tells me about being forgiving, being intentional, being responsible, having good character, being honest, and living those things out, I will yield the fruit of who God is within who I am. But if I'm not in God's word, then I'm not learning those things and implementing those things, and my life doesn't produce that fruit. By being in the word, the fruit of God comes out within me. By being in the word, by planting myself in the word of God, we flourish and we don't wither. All trees experience the hardships and challenges of the elements. Storms will come, and sometimes they're really bad. Flourishing doesn't mean not dealing with those things, not having heartache, but it means that we will continue to grow, that we will know joy, that we will have strength, that we will have fortitude to persevere. Sometimes we give up and we want to quit because life is really, really hard. But one of the things that helps us persevere is the challenge and promises of God's word to stick with him and be obedient even in the midst of challenging. So we have to ask ourselves in those moments when we just want to quit, is it because life is just too difficult, or is it because we're not trusting who God is and what he's told us, that we're not holding on to him and the promises he gives us to flourish and to thrive? It also tells us that when we plant ourselves in his word, that we prosper. Not promising us financial gain. We will gain what is most important in this life. A life that is most fulfilling. Life with the Lord, full of joy and peace and hope and purpose. We need to be people who are planting ourselves in the word of God so that we can yield fruit, flourish, and we can prosper. Other scriptures challenge us like this as well. Proverbs 3 says, trust in the Lord with all your heart and lean not on your own understanding. In all your ways submit to him, and he will make your path straight. Do not be wise in your own eyes. Fear the Lord and shun evil. This will bring health to your body and nourishment to your bones. Don't go off of your own understanding. The way that the wicked and the ways of sinners and the mockers would be, don't go in your own way, but trust the ways of the Lord. Psalm 119 says, how can a young person stay on the path of purity? By living according to your word. I seek you with all my heart. Do not let me stray from your commands. I have hidden your word in my heart that I might not sin against you. Living according to God's word, not just coming to it periodically. And James 1 says, but don't just listen to God's word. You must do what it says. Otherwise, you are only fooling yourselves. For if you listen to the word and don't obey, it is like glancing at your face in a mirror. You see yourself, walk away, and forget what you look like. But if you look carefully into the perfect law that sets you free, if you do what it says and don't forget what you heard, then God will bless you for doing it. The challenge to be in God's word, but to implement it, not just hearing it, but living it out. It leads to the last question from this psalm. Am I trusting that the Lord will bless me through his word, or do I doubt him and do my own thing? Am I trusting the Lord, or do I doubt him? Am I trusting that what he says is going to happen, or am I just going to do my own thing, doubting him? A few weeks ago, I heard Pastor Paul David Tripp say this. I'm going to read what he said in this interview. Look how central the promises of God are to a life of faith. God is a covenant-making God. He is a covenant-keeping God. Galatians says that those who are in Christ are children of Abraham and heirs of the promises made to Abraham. So we are in that same line. Those covenant blessings through the son of Abraham, Jesus, have been passed down to us. Those promises belong to us. So the question of faith is this: where am I forgetting the promises of God? Where am I refusing to believe the promises of God? Where am I not motivated by the promises of God? Am I really one whose life is characterized by grabbing hold of the promises of God with both hands every day? That's how our lives should be. That's what this psalm is telling us. To be in the word, to absorb the word, to learn what God says as far as who he is, the promises that he made, that he tells us what to do, that he tells us what he's going to do, tells us what he calls us to be, and holding on to that and living within that reality, that should characterize our lives. I opened my Bible Sunday when he started talking. Are we trusting, learning what God, taking in, learning what God says, and then holding on to it tightly? Or is it just something that we occasionally come to? Or when we hear those things and learn those things, do we doubt them and go the other way? Tripp also says this. He says, a theology professor of mine once said something that I thought was provocative, but tremendously helpful. He said, if you're a believer and you're struggling with God's faithfulness, perhaps you're actually struggling, what you're actually struggling with is your unfaithfulness. That's a hard question to ask. If you're a believer and you're struggling with God's faithfulness, perhaps what you're actually struggling with is your unfaithfulness. You may be struggling because you've given up on the promises of God, or you've wandered away from the promises of God and are now ruled by your desires. Then you're upset that God is not delivering on those desires. In those situations, who has been unfaithful? Not God. He is doing exactly what he promised to do, delivering everything he promised to deliver. I'm the one wandering away. It's actually my unfaithfulness that's the issue. And that's hard to accept, but a really important question to ponder. When we think through our struggles, when we think through our struggles with the reality of God, are we trusting his promises or do we doubt them? That's why being focused on and enamored with God's word is so important, why delighting and meditating on God's word is central. It centers our faith. It lets us know who God is and what he's promised and how he guides us, and then we can hold on tight. As we seek him over these next 21 days, the word of God must be central to that pursuit. If we want God to move in us, the word of God has to be in us. Or what we're doing is just following emotion. And our emotions are important. But at the end of the day, we have to ask ourselves, what are we putting first, our emotions or the truth of God's word? Because our emotions, we can spiritualize things, but many times we're just living in fear. Or we're living in doubt. Or we're living in a lack of forgiveness. Or we're living in a lack of shame, or a reality of shame. And then we try to spiritualize those things to tamper those things down rather than coming to the promises of God and being faithful within them. To continue to live faithful to him, holding on to him, being forgiving, being gracious, living in honor of him. Which one are we doing? As we seek him over the next 21 days, we have to continually center on him. Whatever we are praying for and fasting for this season, it must be in line with the word of God. Guidance, blessing, wisdom, healing, whatever it is, how we see it and what we expect must be according to God's word. Too often, the ultimate justification for a believer's decisions, actions, lifestyle, whatever it is, comes down to somebody saying, well, I prayed about it, which we do need to do. But ultimately, we should be asking, did I check God's word with this? The thing that I'm looking for, the thing that I'm seeking for, how I respond to this, whatever it might be. Yeah, I prayed about something, but did I also check my heart against God's word? Is there something that I'm avoiding? Is there something that I'm not being honest about? Is it something that I'm trying to get around rather than leaning into the difficult conversation, difficult task, lack, whatever it might be? The word of God challenges our hearts in these moments, purifies our hearts in these moments, points us to where we need to be more forgiving, where we need to deal with conflict, where we need to be more gracious, where we need to be more loving, where we need to do all of those things, not just to others, but also to ourselves. We must learn the promises of God and grip them tightly. And so you have to ask yourself, I have to ask myself, am I trusting him or do I doubt him? This whole passage ends with, therefore the wicked will not stand in the judgment, nor sinners in the assembly of the righteous. For the Lord watches over the way of the righteous, but the way of the wicked leads to destruction. Remember, the whole thing started with the singular, blessed is the one, but now we're talking about the righteous, the assembly, the community. This isn't just us standing alone, but to be one with the Lord is to be with his people. To be part, somebody that follows Christ is to be part of the family of God. We say this many times in this place, that we have to all make a personal decision to follow Jesus. But ultimately, we don't have a personal relationship with him. We have a family relationship. We are connected with one another. These aren't just people that you have to sit next to. These are brothers and sisters in the Lord, and that should guide how we see one another. And so within that, am I moving toward community or away from it? Am I moving toward the Lord and his people or away from them? I want to challenge you to not only for this 21 days, but as you go into this year, what does being part of community look like? That we move toward community, building connections, establishing relationships, making friendships, whether that's in life group, whether that's serving someplace, being here on Sundays, being consistent on Sundays. That's why we say that so much. That's why we need to be here. It isn't just to come and sit here so that we can count everybody. It's so that we can be connected. It's so that we can grow. And yes, things come up. And yes, especially this month, half the people, we're all going to be sick at some point. But there's a difference between those legitimate challenges and like, I don't need that. We need one another. We need community. We need to be moving with the righteous. And if there's difficulty within that, we need to ask ourselves why. Is it something in my life that I'm just not being honest about and I don't want to bring out into the light? Is there conflict that I don't want to deal with? Is it just I'm being lazy? Is it I'm being apathetic? Am I hurt? Am I angry? Whatever that is, bring those realities to the Word of God. Ask what is the appropriate way to respond to these things in a godly manner and move toward him and toward others, not away. As we think about this 21 days, again, this is a special time of pursuing the Lord, of expecting him to move in us. But that comes from us seeking him. And to seek him is to be in his word. I heard somebody say one time, if you want to hear the audible voice of God, read your Bible out loud. If whatever you're saying, well, God told me, if it isn't in line with God's word, then it wasn't from the Lord. We need to be people of the word. So whether you read John, like what Pastor Josiah mentioned, said, I'm reading Psalms. If you want to do that, you want to read something else, you need suggestions, please come and tell me. Jump into the Discord server if you're not already. Bring the questions there. We've already had different conversation happening around the fast and things like that. But be part of community, seek the Lord, and come to his word. I'm going to ask the worship team to come up, but while they are, I want to do one thing. As we talk about the reality of praying and fasting, of seeking the Lord, I want to, as a church, I want us to take a time of praying for one another. So can you stand with me really quick? And so I'm just going to open it up. And if you'd like to pray for our church, pray for this community as we seek the Lord over the 21 days, it'd be great to have a few different people, men or women, pray. And then after a little bit, I'll pray to close us and we'll go into our last song. But I just feel like it just can't just be coming in and hearing me, but we need to come to seek the Lord together. And so thinking through these questions, thinking through what Psalm 1 has told us, thinking through wanting the Lord to move, let's pray together. And so whoever, I'm just going to pick on Ben. Ben, can you, because I'm looking right at you. Ben, can you start? And then whoever wants to pray after Ben, I'll close.